Welcome to the August 2006 issue of Ruminations, written by H. Bradley Perry, Marble Harbor Investment Council Advisory Board member and investment consultant. No Lake Wobegon for investors. When they start out, and for quite a while thereafter, most investors confidently assume they can achieve above-average returns. After all, the glowing advertisements by mutual fund winners and the optimistic sales pitches of professional investment managers make it look easy to do well. But alas, investing is not at all like life in Lake Wobegon, the mythical upper Midwest town in Garrison Keillor's A Prairie Home Companion, where everyone is above average. Actually, in investing, most people end up with below-average results. The figures are compelling. In the past 20 years, only 19% of all U.S. mutual funds outperformed the S&P 500 stock index, and the average net return of all funds was 10.9% annually versus 13% for the S&P in that very favorable period. Investment newsletters have done even worse. Since 1980, the recommendations of only 14% of these letters have outpaced the market. Why has this happened when the simple law of averages tells us that in any group, 50% should do better than average and 50% worse? There are several reasons. First is the two primary costs of managing portfolios. Management fees for mutual funds average 1.5% per year. For separate accounts managed by professionals, they're lower, but including custody, management expenses are usually over 1%, except for very large accounts. Added to these charges are trading expenses, the cost of buying and selling blocks of stock. Commission rates are dirt cheap nowadays, only a few pennies per share for all institutional trades. But the market impact of transactions can be quite significant. When a fund sells or buys $1 million worth or more of any stock, which happens all the time, the weight of that trade pushes down the market price of the stock being sold or pushes up the price of the one being bought, often by 0.25% to 0.5%, depending on the size of the company involved and the normal trading volume of its shares. Given the rapid turnover, that is, trading in and out of stocks, of most professionally managed portfolios today, analysts have concluded that market impact costs most funds at least 1% per year, and often more. So in a world where long-term stock returns have averaged 10.5% annually, management fees and trading costs drain away 1.5% to 2.5% of those returns every year. Thus, a manager has to beat the market by earning 12% to 14% before expenses in order to achieve just an average net return. That's hard to do, and few are able to accomplish it. Another factor holding down returns for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers is the inevitable pressure to be with it by investing in the most popular and best-performing stocks of the moment, such as technology in the late 1990s and energy in the past several years. Clients and many managers themselves like to be riding the current winners, even if the high valuations of those stocks almost guarantee low returns ahead. The third obstacle to above-average returns is failure to stay the course when the going gets tough. In plunging markets for all stocks or a particular industry group that is fundamentally sound, the psychological pressures to sell at depressed prices when all looks gloomy are extremely hard to overcome. "I give up" are fateful words for investors. I remember a frenzied call I got from a good friend and client in August of 2002 as the market was plummeting to new lows, with top-quality stocks down 50% from their 2000 highs, and speculative, mostly technology issues off a sickening 75 to 95%. My friend said, "I've got to sell some stocks today. They're too risky for me, and I want to have a lower stock ratio from now on." I told him he was the best signal I had seen that the market was about to make a low, and that it was an odds-on bet for stocks to rise in the next 12 months, which they did. Unfortunately, this normally sensible person wouldn't listen, and selling a bunch of good stocks then doomed him to below-average performance for years to come. This example can be multiplied by millions of investors. A logical question from what I've said is, if even most professional managers achieve below average returns, how can I find a manager that's likely to beat the odds and give me good returns? That's easy to ask and hard to answer. Most important, I think, is to find a manager who has a carefully thought out, long-term strategy that he follows with great consistency through thick and thin. And this should be based on sound analyzing the fundamentals of businesses, not on some sort of market trading techniques. All the studies I've seen show that portfolios with low turnover far outperform the frenzied in-and-outers who are so prevalent today. The manager should also be very sensitive to stock valuations, because the extremes that valuations typically go to at times can be very beneficial and at times extremely dangerous. Finally, as I've learned from specific unhappy examples, a management firm that is owned by the people doing the work for it is far more likely to do well by its clients than one with outsider ownership, because such firms put their clients' interests first. It's no accident that the best U.S. mutual funds are run by American funds, Dodge & Cox, and Vanguard, all self-owned, and that the best large institutional manager in Boston is Wellington, also self-owned. An unfavorable example on the other side is Putnam, owned by Marsh & McLennan, the insurance broker. Striving to be above average in investing is a noble goal, but that must be pursued with care and humility, because the chances of achieving superior results are not very high. I might add that beyond stocks, the same is true in spades. In venture capital, private equity, hedge funds, and all the other alternative investments now so popular. There, the odds of doing well are also no more than 1 in 5. The average funds do rather poorly, and the worst performers have horrendous results. So you're in for Lake Wobegon, but recognize that it's only a mirage for investors. Beating the market by even a fraction of 1% is doing very well. Please note, we are happy to be able to provide you with ruminations. Please be aware that while Mr. Perry is a member of our advisory board, he is not an employee, and his opinions are his own and not necessarily those of Marble Harbor Investment Counsel, LLC. The content of this publication should not be interpreted as a recommendation to buy or sell any security or financial instrument. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results.